Tonight's shiur is back to Parshas HaShavua. We're going to take up Parshas Noach, and the title of the shiur tonight is The Rainbow Pact. The shiur is going to focus on the idea of the rainbow as presented in Parshas Noach, and also the concept of the covenant between God and Noach and all of humanity in terms of not bringing another flood upon the world. And that's going to be the topic of the shiur tonight. We're going to read through the psukim, and I'm going to build up the questions. If you guys have questions on the phone line, just ask at any point. We'll start with Bereishis Paraktas Pasuk Ches, which is the beginning of this whole idea and area. It says, Vayomer Elokim El Noach Ve'El Banav Ito Lemor. So Hashem said to Noach and his sons who are with him, saying, Va'ani Hinani Mekim Es Brisi Itachem Ve'Es Zarachem Acharechem. And I, behold, will establish a covenant with you and also with your offspring after you. Hashem is establishing a bris. Ve'es kol nefesh ha'chaya asher itachem ba'of ba'behema uv'chol chayas ha'aretz itachem mikol yotzei ha'teva l'chol chayas ha'aretz. This covenant does not just extend to Noach and his sons, but it also extends to the whole animal kingdom. V'hakimosi in Yod Aleph. V'hakimosi es brisi itachem. Hashem is going to establish his covenant with you, and the human beings and humanity and also all the animals will no longer be cut down through the waters of the flood, and there will never be a flood to destroy the world, to destroy the Aretz. Yud Beis, Vayomer Elokim, Zos Os Habris, Asher Anino Sein, Benu Veinechem, Uvein Kol Nefesh Chaya, Asher Itachem, Ledoros Olam. Now Hashem is saying that he's going to establish a sign of the covenant, which is between Beni Uveinechem, between me and you, and between all the animal kingdom, for all generations, forever. L'doros olam. What is that sign? Es kashti nasati be'anan v'haysal os bris Beni Uveinaretz. The sign is the rainbow that I place in the Anan, and this should be a sign of the covenant between me and between everything in the world. When a day is cloudy and the rainbow is seen, then the bris, this covenant that Hashem is making with Noach and his children and all the animals will be remembered, and there will never be a flood to destroy all humanity. And this rainbow will be in the clouds, and it'll be seen in order to remember this bris between Hashem and between the people. And then Yud Zayin, the last pasuk, this is the sign of the covenant in which I established between me and everything on the land. Okay, so to summarize the psukim, simple. Hashem establishes a covenant with Noach and also with all of humanity that he will no longer destroy the world. The pshat seems to be through the Mei Mabul, through the waters, through the flood. And then he also establishes a sign. And what is the sign? The rainbow. And the rainbow is a sign of this bris, of this covenant. Okay, now what is strange? We're just going to ask some questions on the pshat. Does anybody have any questions on the psukim? Just on the pshat of the psukim. Basic questions. Good. So what is the idea of the rainbow? Why, first of all, why is there a need for an os? Why do you need to have a sign of the covenant? Just make the covenant. And furthermore, why is it a keshes? Why does it have to be a rainbow? What does a rainbow have to do with anything? Okay, good question. Okay, another question I think is, why did Hashem even make the bris with Noach? Fine, let's say he wanted to make a bris with Noach, but why? What's the reason for this bris? Did there need to be this bris? Or could he have just, could the world have just gone forward without the bris? Why did God make the bris? And the last thing is just there's a redundancy in the psukim, because he keeps saying that if you look in like Yud Beis, he establishes the rainbow, and then he explains what the rainbow will be. It'll be a sign. And then Yud Zayin, it says again, Vayomer Elokim El Noach, Zos Os HaBris, Asher Hakimosi, Bein Yuv Ein Kol Basar Shel Ha'aretz. He already said that before in Yud Gimel, Yud Beis. All those psukim, he mentions the idea of the rainbow, and then he's saying it again in Yud Zayin. Vayomer Elokim al Noach, Zos Os HaBris, Asher Hakimosi. He already said that. So why is he saying it again? Okay, so three main questions that we're going to start with. One question is, And we'll, I guess we'll go in order. The first question is, what is the reason for this bris? Why did there have to be a bris? The second question is, what is the reason or what is the need for an os, for a sign of the bris? You can have a bris, you can have a covenant without a sign, but why do you need a sign? And the rainbow, especially, what is its significance in terms of the bris? And the last question is the redundancy of the psukim. At first it says, this is the sign, and then it says again at the end, Vayomer Elokim al Noach, zos osa bris, asher kibosi, beinu vein kol basar shel aretz. So why repeat it again, over and over again? Okay, any other questions? Anybody have any other problems or issues with the psukim?
I just want to say it's how you can make a bris with the animal kingdom.
Okay.
You're going to say you're not going to destroy it anymore, but you think the bris is both parties have to be cognizant of it.
Okay, good question. Okay, maybe we'll answer that, hopefully. Okay, good question. How do you make a bris with the animal kingdom? All right. Okay, so let's look at number two. We'll look at Rashi. He kind of helps us out, but I think we're going to have to understand Rashi in a deeper way. He says in An Pasuk Tes, which is where Hashem establishes the bris, which is the first question, Vani Hinini, and now I behold, he says, Maskim Ani Imcha, that he agrees with Noach. I agree with Noach. Shehaya Noach Doeg La'asok B'Peria V'Rivya. Noach was nervous about being involved in having children and being fruitful and multiplying. Ad Shehivticho HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shelola Shaches Es HaOlam Od. Until Hashem made this promise that he would no longer destroy the world. V'chein Asa, and then Hashem did that. Okay, so why did Hashem make the bris according to Rashi? Just a pshat. Because he wanted Noach to be involved in Puruvu, and Noach didn't want to be involved in Puruvu. So he knew that in order to get Noach to be involved in Puruvu, he had to make this bris, and he did that. Uvachrona, in the end, Amar Lo, Hinini Maskim, Lasos Kiyam, Bechozik, Bris, Lahavtachasi. He says, I am also agreeing to make a Kiyam and a Chozek to establish it and strengthen the Bris, Lahavtachasi, Vechizik Bris, Lahavtachasi, Ve'etain Lachaos, and I'll give you a sign, which is strengthening the Bris. Okay. Okay, let's just go on in Rashi, and then we'll ask the question. Look at Yud. He just gives the pshat. He says, Chayasa aret itachem. So it was also not with just with Noach, but also, and not just with humanity, but also with the animal kingdoms. Chayasa aret itachem, him hamisalchem, him abrios. Those are the animals that walk with the people. I guess they're upright. Mikol yotzei ateva, lahavish gatzim v'ramasim. Those are the creepy crawlers. That's even the, you know, the shadim, the mazikin, those things that damage human beings, which we're not going to really explain, but it's a good question. What does that mean? Okay, so what's the question on Rashi, on the original Rashi? It says that he's agreeing. Why is he making the bris? Because he was worried that Noach was not going to be involved in Pru'urvu. And therefore, he made a bris. And if you look, just before we ask the question, look at number three. Right before the psukim that we started with, Ches and Zion, there is a tzivoy for the people to be, and Noach and his children to be involved in Puruvu. It says, V'atem Puruvu, and Rashi says, Lefi Pshuto, based on the pshat of the psukim, Harishona the Bracha. The first time Hashem says to Noach and his children to be fruitful and multiply, it's just Lebracha, it's just as a blessing. Vekan letzivoy, but now he's commanding Noach and his children to be involved in Puruvu. Ulefi midrasha lahakish misha eno osek v'periyav rivya l'shofech damim. But the midrash is saying that over here it's trying to equate a person who's not involved in being fruitful and multiplying and having children to a person who murders. Okay, kind of a separate point, that idea. But the main question, I think, is that who cares if Noach has more children or not? Why is this a reason? It doesn't seem like a strong reason for Hashem or Kadosh Baruch Hu to establish a bris. And even if you want to say that Hashem wants to establish a bris with Noach because it's very important that Noach be involved in Puruvu, why establish it for all generations? Just you know, establish it with Noach that in Noach's lifetime, you know, there won't be a flood. So Noach can have children. Okay, so that's the question. I think it's very troublesome that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it seems strange that he's just doing this. He's making this universal bris for all of time and for all of humanity and for all of the whole world, not just human beings, but also for the animals, based on the fact that Noach was nervous about having children. I mean, who cares? Noach, you know, so Noach wouldn't fulfill his tzivoy. So all of a sudden, Hashem has to alter the universe and he has to make a bris. It seems kind of odd to me. Okay, so that's the main question. And we're going to have to understand that idea in Rashi in a deeper way, in a deeper level. Another, just to strengthen the question, in number four, because I'm going to keep strengthening this question. In number four, if you look in the just the pshat of the psukim, it's Bereishis Perek Vav. We know that Noach already had children. It says, Eile told us Noach, Noach ish tzadik, tamim ayah bedorosah, v'esalokim esalach Noach. Noach was a tzadik, and he was perfect in his path, in his ways, and he followed in the path, and he walked with God. Vayolin Noach shlosha banim, Hashem es chom ves yafes. He already had three children. He had Shem, he had Chom, he had Yefes. So Noach had three children, and he was already Yotzei somewhat. I mean, maybe not technically, but he was Yotzei Puruvu. He already had children. So who cares if he, why is it such a big deal if Noach himself has children or not? He already contributed to the world in terms of having children. So why does it matter? Why does it matter to, and it's so important that God has to establish a bris with Noach? Okay? Anybody have any other questions, or I'm just going to stop here for a second, or any thoughts or ideas at this point? Okay, there's going to be like one answer or one main idea that we're going to establish and work off of. So another question before we, and I'll go back and I'll summarize the questions, but let's move on. Number five. Okay, there's a Rashi earlier, and he talks about a similar situation to Noach and a similar idea to Noach. There's a case in Bereishis by Lemech. I don't know if we remember. In Parshas Bereishis, there's a little bit of a story. Lemech was one of the descendants of Cain, and he had two wives, Ada and Sila. And one of them was for the purpose of Puravu, of just having children. The other one was just for beauty. And he had these two wives. And there's a strange story. It's unclear from the psukim, the pshat of the story, but there's a medrash on the meaning of the story, and the medrash explains it. So if you look in number five, it's Rashi, and I'm going to start after the period on the first line. It says, "Umidrash Bereishis Rabba lo harag Lemech klum." So Lemech, his offspring, because he was an offspring of Cain, that it was decreed that the offspring be wiped out, Cain's offspring be wiped out, and there's a whole story there. But it says in the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah that Lemech, he didn't kill anybody. He didn't kill Cain. He didn't kill Tuval Cain. Klum, v'nashav porshos mimenu mishekimu pirya v'rivya. So his wives, Ada and Sila, they decided that once they had children, they didn't want to be with him anymore because they didn't want to have children. Lefi, why? Shenigzara gzera l'chalo zaro shel Cain. Because there was a gzera that Cain's offspring should be wiped out, la'achar shiva doros, after seven generations, Amru, they said, ma'anu yoldos libahala, why are we having children for no purpose, for nothing? La'machar ha'mabol ba v'shotefis akol. So tomorrow, the mab, not literally tomorrow, but tomorrow, in the future, the mabol will come and it'll wipe out everything. So what's the purpose of having children? V'hu omer lahen, and he says back to them, v'chi ish harakti lefitzi, did I kill anybody that I should be wounded? V'chi ani harakti es hevel shaya ish bekoma v'yelad bishanim, was I responsible for Hevel's destruction, his death? He was young, but he was still a man. Shaye zari kala b'oso avon, that my offspring should be destroyed through this avon, through this sin. Uma kain shaharag nitla lo shiva doros, ani shalo harakti lo kol shaken, shayitlu li shivios harbe. So that Cain, who Uma kain shaharag, he killed, he was given seven generations. So me, I didn't kill anybody, so I should get even seven times that. Fine. So then the Medrash says, Vizek kavachomer shal shtus. This is a useless, wasteful, not a true kavachomer. Imkain, ina kadosh baruch hu, gova es chovo, mekayim es devaro. Hashem already decreed that the offspring of Cain should be destroyed, and it had nothing to do with Lamech's personal perfection or not. Okay, fine. This is not the main point. Look in Chafe. So what happens? It says, Vayeda Adam, Balo Lemech etzel Adam harishon v'kaval nashav. So Lemech, he went to Adam, and he started complaining. My wives don't want to be with me. They don't want to have children anymore. What am I supposed to do? So he says, Amar lahen. So Adam said back to him, V'chi aleichem ledaktik al gzeraso shel makom. Is it upon you to be exact and to delve into the gzera of the makom of God? Atem asu mitzvaschem v'hu yaseh shelo. You do your mitzvah. Your mitzvah is to do puruvu. And God will do what he does. Hashem will do what he does. So they said back to him, Amru, the wives said, Lo, kshot atzmecha tchila, you have to correct yourself first. V'halo parashta me'ishtecha zeh mea ushloshim shana mishin niknesa misal yadecha. Adam himself, he separated from his wife for 130 years once Misa was brought into the world because of him. Miyad vayeda Adam od. Then Adam was with Chava and they had children at that point. They had Shes. So this story, just a summary of the story, is that Lemech, who was one of the offspring of Cain, his wives didn't want to, they didn't want to be with him because they didn't want to have children because they knew in the future that the offspring would be destroyed. It sounds like by the Mabul from the Medrash, and they didn't want to have children. And Lemech, he wants to be with them. He wants to have children. He goes to Adam, and Adam basically says that you should have children. It's improper and it's wrong to not have children because of the future, because of the idea that the flood will come, or because of the fact that Adam Harishon knows that, you know, the children will die and death came into the world. So therefore, you should do what you have to do, and God will do what He has to do. Okay, so what's the question? The question is, like, what's the difference between this case and Noach's case? Over there, by Lemech, it says that his wife didn't want to be with him, and Adam basically gives him tochacha, and he says, no, you should be with your wife. And it doesn't matter that in the future the Mabul will come. You have to do what you do, and God will do what He does. But over here, by Noach, it sounds like Hashem is making a concession, and He's almost like validating the idea that Noach doesn't want to have children anymore. And in the one situation, by the Adam case, it sounds like it was wrong. It was a wrong thing, and you know, Lemech is rebuked by Adam, and they end up having children despite knowledge of the future. But by Noach, God makes a concession to Noach, and He decides that, you know, to create this bris in order that Noach end up having children. So why don't we just say, or why didn't Hashem just say to Noach, listen, it's your job, there's a tzivoy of Puravu, and that's it, that's your tzivoy. why is he making this bris in order to give in to Noach's, you know, fear of having children? When before, by Adam and by Lemech, he doesn't do that. It's the opposite. They're supposed to just have children and that's it. Do what you're supposed to do. Do your mitzvos. Okay? And everybody got it? The question? So let me just review the questions quickly. So the main question is that we're focused on is, what is the purpose of the bris? And Rashi says the purpose of the bris is because Noach was afraid to have children, so Hashem has to make this bris in order that Noach be involved in Puravu. So the question is, why do we care that Noach was involved in Puravu? He already had children, so he was already Yotze. Maybe, you know, he was Yotze. He already contributed to the world, and his children would have more children. And another question is that we see from this story in Bereishis that you're supposed to do what you're supposed to do, and everything else you leave up to God. And by the Lemech situation, there, God doesn't make a concession. He doesn't say that I'm going to change the fact that the Mabul is going to come in order that you have children. No, you do your mitzvos, and then God will do what He does. So, but yet by Noach, it's different. So what is the difference between the two situations? Okay?
Well, isn't the difference that Noach actually experienced the
Mabul? Okay, excellent. Yes, yes. Noach actually experienced it. So we're going to get to that, definitely. That's one.
What did you say?
Tamar just said that one of the difference, the obvious difference, is that there seems to be a chiluk, a distinction between experiencing it and not experiencing it. Meaning, by Lemech and Adam, they didn't experience the destruction of the Mabul, and they were just anticipating the destruction of the Mabul, whereas by Noach, he did experience it. So there's a difference there. So I
you can, when you, like, when you actually experience something, so the fear can become, like, paralyzing. But if you don't experience it, and you're just hearing it without having had any negative experiences, then it's kind of, I don't know what the word is, but
okay,
it doesn't seem as sound of a fear.
Okay, good. Okay, that's a good approach. I like it. There's a difference between a fear that's just an anxiety about the future and a fear that emerges from an experience, from a negative experience. And we'll try to just develop that a little bit further, but that's a good distinction. I like that distinction. Okay, excellent. All right, so before we answer the main question, we have one more Rashi and Pasuk to look at, and then we'll get into the first idea of the Shir, the first main idea. So if you look at number 6, It says,
hello?
Yes.
Oh, I just wanted to say that to me it seems like the first guy, Lamech, had a little bit more of a personal attachment to having kids or not having kids because it was like his direct line.
Okay.
Where, like, with, that was like threatened. Whereas, like, Noah had his kids already and he was more concerned about, like, universal, like, the universal continuation.
Okay, good. Okay, excellent. Yeah, I also, good. Another good distinction. So we'll get to that. That's very good. So we have two distinctions. One is that Noach was more, it wasn't as much personal, but it was more universal because he already had, you know, he already had children. So did Lamech, but you're saying it's more universal, but Lamech, it seems like it was more personal. Okay, good. And the other distinction is that there's a difference between a fear that emerges before an event and a fear that emerges after an event. Okay, good. So let's just do one more, number 6 and 7, and then we'll put all those ideas together, hopefully. So if you look at number 6, in Bereishis Perek Vav, before God, Hashem, brings the Mabul, it says, Vani hinani, it's a Perek Vav Pasuk Yedzayin. Vani hinani mevias ha-mabul mayim al-aretz l'shachis kol bashar asher bo ruach hayim mitachas ha-shamayim kol asher ba-aretz yigva. So Hashem's going to bring the Mabul upon the whole world, and to destroy everything, and everything will be completely wiped out. Look at Rashi. It says, Vani hinani mevi. The reason why I came to this Rashi, there was a little footnote in my Toras Chaim, that my Toras Chaim Chumash, which is the Chumash of the Rishonim, and it pointed me in the direction of this Rashi, and it's very similar language. He says, Vani hinani mevi. He uses the same, I behold, I'm bringing. Hinani muchan lahaskim im osam shazir zuni v'amru lefanai kfar ma enosh kisis karenu. Okay, so he's saying that now I'm ready to agree with those that urged me. I think the pshat is that it's referring to the angels. And they said to God, what is man that he should be mentioned? The idea being that man is really not worthy of even, there's a concept of ma enosh kisis karenu, that in the eyes of God, man is very small and his existence is really, I guess, meaningless in the eyes of God. And that's the idea of ma enosh kisis karenu. So before the Mabul, Hashem said, or he didn't say, but the Rashi saying that he agreed, or what allowed him, or what not allowed him, but the reason behind the Mabul was the concept of ma enosh kisis karenu, that there's like a certain, in the eyes of God, that, you know, man doesn't have a right to exist, and man only is only granted existence because it's God's will. But ma enosh kisis karenu, man is really small in the eyes of God. He's a very small creature. Okay, good. All right. So how do we explain, or what's the connection between this Rashi and the other Rashis, and how do we answer all the questions and put everything hopefully together and establish an idea in understanding the meaning behind this bris? Okay. So I think the concept is that there's two, and it's gonna, I'm gonna explain all the ideas mentioned, that there's two concepts in terms of man's existence. One is a philosophical concept, and the other is a psychological idea. So on the one hand, philosophically, the Rashi in number 7 is saying that man has to recognize this idea of ma enosh kisis karenu, that there is a reality to the fact that man is a very small creature, and man can be wiped out very easily by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we don't really have a right to exist, which is something that, you know, we believe we have a right to exist, but we don't really have a right to exist. But what is Noach expressing? The idea that Noach is expressing, which we go back to Rashi, says, Vani maskim ani imcha shaya Noach doeg lasok beperi av rivya ad shivticho kadosh baruch hu shalol l'shaches es ha'olam od v'chein asa. See, Noach is expressing the concept that on the one hand, it is a true reality that man has to recognize that he's not necessary for God's existence and that he could be wiped out. But on the other hand, from a psychological standpoint, from a mental standpoint, it's hard, it's very difficult to think about the future and to want to develop the world and to multiply and to add to the, and contribute to the world in its future when there's the threat and the idea or that concept that man is really nothing and that man could be destroyed at any moment. So there's a kind of a balance. On the one hand, there's a reality, there's a philosophical truth that man has to recognize. But on the other hand, if man is in constant recognition of that idea, he can't move forward. There's nothing, he has no desire, his will to to civilize the world, his will to propagate the world is gone from a psychological standpoint. And the idea is not, it's not about Noach himself. It's not about Noach's personal puravu, because you're right, he already had children, and it's not about that. What it's about is that Noach was expressing a reality that from the psychological standpoint, from a mental standpoint, man cannot exist, and his desire to move to the future and to think about the future and to, you know, to cultivate the world, it's greatly stopped and hindered by the concept that that man could be destroyed at any moment. That ma enosh ki siskarenu. So there's this balance going on. On the one hand, there's a reality, but on the other hand, psychologically, it's very detrimental. Okay, so now what's Noach saying? So what's Hashem saying? Hashem is establishing the bris with Noach because Noach is demonstrating to God. He's expressing through his nervousness, through him being worried, he's expressing this idea that man cannot continue to think about the future. He cannot continue to move forward and to cultivate the world if the threat of destruction, the idea that man is worthless and he really doesn't have, you know, a right to existence, that idea cannot be in the mind of man in terms of the future, in terms of thinking of the future. So it's not about him. And to answer the question, it's not really about his personal puravu. It's about puravu in terms of the desire of man to, you know, to think about the future and to develop the world. And that would strongly be, if you didn't have the bris, the idea is that concept and that desire and that will on the part of man, there would be a drawback to it, and it would be completely hindered, and man would not be able to develop in the way that God's will. It's God's will. He says before, "Vatem puravu." It says that man should develop the world. God tells man to develop the world and to continue to multiply. But the idea is that if you don't have a bris, if you don't have some type of psychological security that man needs, then man is unable to do that, to fulfill God's will. Okay? So that is the idea. That's the concept. So what's the difference between the idea of Lamech and Noach, which was one of the answers, I think, given by two people? The difference is that when it's man's duty to have children, and you just have a fear and anxiety about the future, even if you know that something's going to happen in the future, the idea is that you haven't experienced it, which is what Tamar was saying. You haven't experienced it, and there's no real reality to that fear. It may be true, but the fear is just basically a fantasy of what will happen in the future. But there's no reality to it. You haven't experienced it. So the fear, according to the story, a person should be able to overcome that. If you have a mitzvah and you have an obligation to do something, you should be strong enough to overcome that fear, to overcome an anxiety that's based on a fantasy, that's based on, you know, perception of the future. But once something happens and a person actually witnesses, you know, Midas HaDin, he witnesses something terrible and it's created, the Torah is telling us that it's much more difficult and that God makes a concession, that there's an idea that man, it's virtually impossible for man to be able to overcome that fear. So there's a strong difference between those two types of fears: the fear of the future and anxiety based on, you know, a fantasy of what will happen, and a fear that emerges because of experiencing something terrible. So that's why there's a concession made to Noach. On the one hand, he's not like Adam and Lamech. He's not in a situation where it's just a fantasy. It's just an anxiety based on nothing or nothing that he's experienced. But the anxiety emerged from the whole mabul. And there's this balance that is now created. On the one hand, man has to recognize what he is in the eyes of God. But on the other hand, he needs a security. He needs a psychological security in order to move forward, in order to continue to exist and to persist. Okay? I think that's a relatively pshat idea, a simple idea. Anybody have any questions? Okay, good. I'm glad. All right. It's kind of like a hurricane, you know, or I think it's the idea of PTSD, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder, that when you experience something, it's a lot stronger, it's a lot more powerful in the person's mind, like people who go to war. So they have, in general, PTSD a lot of times. They have post-traumatic stress disorder, and it affects them in the future, but the fact that their fear is not based on a fantasy, they've actually experienced it, it's based on a real experience. So when a fear is based on a real experience, it's a lot harder to overcome than just a fantasy. And God expects man to be able to overcome his anxieties, but you can't expect man to overcome a fear that emerges from a real experience. And that's why there's a concession made to Noach in order for Noach to have a certain security and be able to move forward. Okay, so what's the idea of the keshes? I think this is the beautiful idea, and this is what ties everything together. If we look at the keshes in number 8, the idea of the rainbow, why do we need a sign of this bris that we have to look at and we have to see an idea? What is that idea? Why do we need that? So if we look at number 8 in Rashi, he says, "Va'kimosi esek kiyom lebrisi." I am going to make a fulfillment or an establishment of my covenant. Umahu kiyumo esakeshes kemoshe masayim beholech. That's a reference to the rainbow. He's going to explain, okay, ledoros olam, for all generations. This idea, this sign, was for all generations. If you look in the doros, it's missing a vav. And Rashi notes that in Yud Beis. He says, nichtav chaser. Doros is missing a vav. Sheyesh doros shelo hutzrechu laos. Lafisha tzaddikim gemurim hayu. There are doros, there were generations that didn't require this sign because they were tzaddikim. Kimo doro shel chizkiyo melch Yehuda v'doro shel Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. So the keshes, the rainbow, it only appeared or it only existed in certain generations, but other generations didn't have it. So why is that? We're going to have to explain that. If the whole idea is to give man a certain security, so why wasn't the keshes present by all generations? Okay, he goes on. Rashi says interesting things over here. He says, "Ba'anani anan, when it's a cloudy day, kishitale b'machshava lefanai l'havi choshech v'avadon l'olam, when it comes before or in God's mind to bring darkness and death and destruction to the world." So what is he going to do? Bein Elokim uvein kol nefesh chaya, bein midas hadin shel mala ubeinechem. The word Elokim implies strict justice, the characteristic of midas hadin. So between midas hadin shalmala and between you, shehaya lo lichto beini uvein kol nefesh chaya, elezehu midrasho. So what's the medrash? Kishetavo midas hadin lekatrig aleichem. When the midas hadin, when strict justice, when it comes to instigate against Klal Yisrael, ani roa esa os v'niskar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to see this keshes, this rainbow, and he's going to remember the bris. Okay, another strange Rashi. What does it mean that Hashem is going to see the keshes? So really we have two questions on Rashi. Why didn't the keshes exist in all generations? And what does it mean that Hashem is going to see the keshes and he's going to remember this bris and it's going to, I guess, quell and stop the midas hadin? And then finally it says, Zos osa bris. This is it. Once again, it's redundant. Heroa keshes v'amar lo hareya osha marti. He shows Noach what it is. Okay, what is the, before we answer Rashi, which we will answer, and I'll show you how everything, I think, ties in Rashi's concept of the bris and the keshes. What is the keshes? What is the concept of the keshes? So there's an interesting Ramban, and then we're going to come back to Rashi, and I'll remind you of all the questions, so don't worry. There's an interesting Ramban, and the Ramban is very scientific. I think it's a relatively famous Ramban. It's number 9. He says, Zos os habris asher ani nosin. It's on Pasuk Yud Beis. Hamashma mina osaze shilohaya keshes ba'anan mi ma'asa bracious. It sounds like that there was no rainbow in the time of the creation of the world. The ata bara Hashem chadasha lasos keshes bashamayim biyom anan. And it sounds like from the psukim, just the pshat of the psukim, that the rainbow was created in this time by Noach. The amru betama osaze, and we say that the reason for this os, this symbol, Ki akeshes lo asa'o sheyu raglav lamala sheyura ki ilu min hashamayim morimbo. If you look at the rainbow, the legs of the rainbow are facing downwards and not upwards. And there is a reason why, because it shouldn't look like God is sending arrows down to the earth. Vayishla chitzav vayifitzein ba'aretz, that he sent arrows down and he scattered them. It shouldn't look like that. Aval aso behefech mizeh, it's like an upside down bow and arrow, like the bow. Laharosh shelo yorubo min hashamayim, to demonstrate that Hashem will not send arrows to you from the heavens. V'chein derech hanilchamim, people in war, lahafoch oso biyadam, when they're carrying their bows, they turn them upside down. Kacha kasher yikru l'shalom, when they're calling out for peace. L'misha kenegdam, to those who are against them. So it's a peace sign to turn your bow and arrow upside down. V'od she'ein l'keshes yeser l'chonein chitzim olav. Also, it shows that there's no rope on the, it's not even a real keshes to the people. They see that there's no rope. When it's upside down, you can see that there's no bow. There's no actual rope in order to send the arrows. Okay? So he explains the meaning of the keshes. The idea of the keshes is that it symbolizes or it signifies an idea of shalom, of peace between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the people. And through that, they should recognize that God is not going to bring the floods upon them. Okay? Then he says, "Va'nachnu al karchinu namin ledivrei hayavonim." So we have to, we're forced to believe the Greek philosophy, the Greek philosophers. "Shemalahid Hashemesh ba'avir halach ya keshes betolada." That when the sun hits the dense atmosphere, the outgrowth of it is the keshes, the rainbow. If you put water in front of the sun, yira kemara keshes, it'll look like a rainbow because it's really just a refraction of light. The kasher nistakil od belashan akas of novinkin. Then he says, if you look in the psukim, you'll understand this. Ki amar, because it says es kashti nasati be'anan, that I placed my rainbow into the clouds. Velo amar ani nosin banan. He doesn't say it in the future or in the present tense, but it's nasatia in the past tense, which implies that the keshes existed in Maaseh Bereishis. Kasher amar zos osa bris asher ani nosin. Just like he says, kasher amar zos osa bris asher ani nosin. Umilas kashti. Also, the idea that it's my keshes morish haisalo akeshes chila, that it existed before. So how do we explain the psukim? That the rainbow that was placed into the sky, into the clouds, from Bereishis, now it'll function as a sign of the bris, the covenant. Whenever it's seen, and whenever I see it, I'll remember this bris. This is a very fascinating Ramban, because you see from the Ramban that he accepts science, that he doesn't ignore the science, and he says the science seems to be clear that the keshes had to be an outgrowth of light, of refraction of light, and he says therefore when you look at the psukim, it sounds like it affected his view of the psukim, that he looked at the psukim a little bit differently because of the knowledge of the science. So it's a good Ramban to demonstrate that, you know, science is really compatible with Torah, and that we have to accept science, and then it could affect and it could sharpen the way that you learn the Torah. Because initially he says it sounds like just the pshat that it was created now, but he says it can't be that. And then you see from the lashon of the psukim that it really means the other way. So it's a really nice Ramban, something to keep in your back pocket. But anyway, so he says, just to summarize, the Ramban says that the rainbow was really a sign of peace between a Kadosh Baruch Hu and the people, and it's because the bow was turned upside down. Okay, so now let's go back a little bit of a side, we were going on a side track. It was still within the shir as to what the rainbow is, and it's really like a natural result of light hitting, moisture. But what does Rashi mean over there, that the keshes, what is the idea of the keshes, the concept of the midas adin, that it's going to be quelled by the os, it's going to be stopped by the os, and why was it not necessary for all generations? So I think, and why do we even need a keshes? Why do we need an os or a sign? So I think that the idea of the keshes really reflects this balance, the balance that I was mentioning before in the beginning of the parsha and the beginning of the shir. That there's a balance in man, that philosophically we have to recognize that we don't have a right to exist, but on the other hand, we need a psychological security and a confidence in order to persist, in order to move forward, and in order to care about the future, and so that the world can live in line with God's will and God's design. But you need the os. Why do you need the os? Rashi seems to be saying that the os is to remind the people that Midas Adin still exists, and that the people should recognize that it's not because of our good qualities, it's not because we deserve to exist and we have a right to exist that we exist, but it's only because of the bris. So on the one hand, it's trying to preserve the balance. Why? Because if you don't have this balance present in humanity, present in the whole universe, then what happens is that man becomes overly confident. In fact, I was talking to my chavrusa and I was saying, I don't know if it's an accident, but the whole Migdal Bavel happens like after this. So if humanity feels too confident, if they feel like they have a right to exist, that their existence is important in the eyes of God and it's necessary in the eyes of God, then they become overconfident and it leads you to, you know, false ideas and destruction, and ultimate destruction. So the concept of the keshes and the idea of midas ha-din, lekatreg, but God seeing the sign, is that concept, that despite the fact that we were given a haftacha, that the world won't be destroyed through the mabel, and man needs that security, in order to move forward, in order to continue on. We also, we can't forget the reality of what we really deserve, that we really deserve to die. And it's only because of this need that we have, this psychological need, and the idea that it's God's will that the world continue to develop and further develop. It's only that for that reason that we're allowed to exist. But it's not because we deserve to exist. That's why the keshes was not necessary in every generation, because it was only generations that lacked that idea, that forgot that idea, that didn't recognize, you know, their true right to exist. Only those generations, the ones that didn't recognize that, they need the keshes. They need to see that balance. They need to be in a situation where their egos are checked. But the tzaddikim, the gemurim, they don't need the keshes. They don't need the idea, the concept, the opposite of the bris, the concept that midas hadin still exists and that man doesn't have a right to exist. So you have that balance. The balance, the reason for the rainbow and the sign of the rainbow is because the balance is necessary. And it's a very tenuous balance. You can't feel worthless psychologically, but you can't feel and you can't know philosophically, you can't think or believe philosophically that you have a right to this, that you have a right to existence, and that God can't destroy you. That's very dangerous. So you need to balance that, and that's why the keshes was put into place as a sign, as an os. And that's the idea of the keshes, the idea of shalom, that a person has to recognize that they're not going to be destroyed, but also recognize that God, there's midas adin, and we don't deserve it. It's not because of our own, you know, our own importance, our own significance. Okay, good. Questions? Anybody? Clear? Feedback? Somebody?
Very clear.
Okay, good. Thank you. All right, so just one more point in the shir. I wanted to get to a little bit of halacha l'masa, but also a similar type of idea, I think, emerges in the halacha. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, he talks about the bracha that you make when you see a rainbow. It says, number 10, it's the Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim Simen Reish Chav Tes Sif Aleph. Haroa keshes, hakeshes, a person who sees the rainbow, Omer, you say, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Zocher HaBris. He remembers the covenant. Neman Bevriso, he's trustworthy in his bris. V'kayam b'ma'amaro, and he establishes his words. V'aser listakel bo b'yoser, you can't look at the rainbow too much. You can't stare at the rainbow. Okay? So you're supposed to make a bracha when you see the rainbow, and another halacha is that you're not supposed to stare at the rainbow. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah explains some of these halachos, and he actually brings down in Aleph that you're not supposed to tell your friend about it based on the Chai Adam, but I should just mention that there's a lot of Achronim that argue with that concept, and a lot of Achronim say that idea is not true, and that if you see a rainbow, that you can tell your friend, and there's no problem with it. So it's a big machlokas Achronim, but many argue with the Chai Adam and say that you are allowed to tell your friend. But what is the idea that you're not allowed to stare at it too much? If you look in Hey, in number 11 in the Mishnah Berurah, he says, "Va'bistakelbo biyoser einav kahos." It's based on a Gemara in Chagiga that if you look at the rainbow too much, your eyes get weak. Ela ro'ehu umevarech. All you're supposed to do is you're supposed to look at it and make the bracha and then turn away. So what is the problem with staring at the rainbow? Why is it a problem? So if we look in the Gemara, the Gemara says, "Kol shelo chas al kavod kone rasoi lo shelo ba la'olam." It says that anybody who doesn't care about and ignores the kavod kono, the respect for his creator, it's rachamim, it's merciful, had he not been created at all. Now, what is that referring to? The Mishnah says that. Maihi, what is that? Rabbi Abba Amar is zeh mistakel b'keshes. It's a reference to a person who looks and stares at the keshes. It's not just looking at it, but it means you're staring at it. Rav Yosef Amar zeh ha'over avera b'seser, and he argues. He says it means a person who does an avera in secret. Mistakel b'keshes. Where do we know that a person who stares at the keshes is doing something terrible and it's wrong? Dichsiv kimare ha'keshes, like the vision of a rainbow. Asher yia ba'anan, that's in the clouds. Biyom ha'geshem, on a rainy day. Kain mare hanoga saviv hu mare demus kvod Hashem. So too is the vision of the light around, surrounding us, surrounding him, and it's the mare, it's the sign of the muskvod Hashem, the likeness of the glory of God. Okay, so there's some idea there of the likeness of the glory of God in the keshes, in the rainbow, and it's inappropriate, therefore, to stare at it. And also the same thing in number 13. It says, Darash Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nachmeni, Miturgomine, Dereish Lakish, Kol Mestakel, Beshlosh Advarim, Inav Kos. If you look at three things, your eyes become weak. Bekeshes, Uvinasi, Uvikohanim. So too, also by the keshes, the rainbow, the Nasi, the leader, the president of the Nasi, Uvikohanim, and Kohanim. Bekeshes, Tichsiv, Kimareya, Keshes, Asher Yebanan, Biyoma Geshem, Humare, Dumas Kvod Hashem. Same Pasuk as in Yechezkel. So what is this concept that you're not allowed to stare at the rainbow? And what is the idea that the Marid Mos Hashem is there? So if we go back to the Rashi and the approach in Rashi, I think it makes sense. Because Rashi is really saying that the Keshes, on the one hand, it symbolizes peace and security. But on the other hand, it also represents or reflects the idea of Midas Adin. And Midas Adin is a very true idea about God. It's a very deep idea about God. But it's also a very harsh idea for man to accept. And when you stare at something, it means you're just comfortable with it. If you look at something and then you look away, it demonstrates that you're not so comfortable with it, that you can't stare at it. It's almost like you have an aversion to it. But if you just stare at something, it means that you really are comfortable with it. And the whole idea here of the keshes is that man is recognizing midas hadin, which is an attribute of God, a characteristic of God. And that's a very harsh idea. It's a harsh idea for man to accept. And therefore, anybody, I think that's the idea, therefore, mistakabo biyoser in of kos. If you look at it too much, your eyes will be weak, meaning that it's inappropriate for a person to stare. I don't know specifically why it means in of kos, chaos, but it means that it's inappropriate to stare at the rainbow, because it means that you're comfortable with the concept that you don't deserve to exist. And that's the very opposite of what the whole purpose of the keshes is. The whole purpose of the keshes is it's supposed to remind man that we don't have a right to exist and that we could be destroyed and that really that midas hadin demands that we be destroyed. But and if a person just stares at it, if he's comfortable with that idea, he's not getting that idea. He just really is not. He's not internalizing it. It means he doesn't respect midas hadin and he doesn't have the appropriate ema and awe of God and his ability to execute midas hadin. Okay. All right, so that was a little bit of halacha lemaasa. So let me just summarize the shiur briefly, in a brief summary. The shiur is really, the focus of the shiur is on the idea, the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu establishing a bris with Noach and with the whole entire universe and the whole world, that he'll no longer be destroyed by the Me'amabo, by the waters, the flood waters. And also the significance or the idea of the keshes, the rainbow, why it needed to exist. And we never answered the idea of Noach, but I'll come back to the idea of why it's redundant. But the main idea in the shiur was that the fact that Noach didn't want to have children is not an idea in Noach himself, but it's an idea in the desire to look to the future and propagate the world and cultivate the world for the future. And the concept that was expressed in the Mabul itself was that man is really worthless in the eyes of God, that man could just be destroyed like that. But from a psychological standpoint, man needs security in order to go on. He can't always constantly be thinking that that idea is true and that idea exists from a psychological standpoint. Maybe philosophically, but not psychologically and mentally. So mentally, you need a certain security. But in that security, the idea of Midas Hadin cannot be lost. It can't just be that now man has a right to exist. It can't be that man thinks that God can't punish me, he can't hurt me. No, it's not that idea. It's a different idea. It's an idea that we need the security. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also established the keshes, the rainbow, to reinforce the concept of the bris, that it's not that man really deserves it. It's really an idea that it's necessary for man, and it's necessary for man to live in line with God's will, but he shouldn't lose the idea, the concept of the Midas Adin, that Midas Adin exists, and that man really could be destroyed. He doesn't have a right to existence from a standpoint of justice, of pure justice. And that's why also a person should not be mistakel bo. Biyoser. If you're mistakabo biyoser, it means that you're not really appreciating that idea, which is an idea that directly ties to God and to God's perfection. But it means that you're not really in tune to that idea, because if a person really accepts that concept and really sees that concept, he should have an aversion to it. He should almost like look away because it's too painful. It's too harsh for man, and that's why I think the halacha says that you're not supposed to stare at it. Be mistakabo. Okay, and that's the Demos Hashem. The Demos Hashem is that there's a deep concept there about God's, the way that God acts to the world, the way that Midas Adin works, and that is present in the Keshas. And a person has to have the proper respect for that idea and that concept. Okay, the last point was why it's redundant, and I think that the reason why it's redundant is that Noach, it sounds like from the end, Yud Zayin, Rashi says that Noach himself had to see the Keshas also as well. And it sounds like the Torah is saying that the concept alone wasn't enough for Noach from a psychological standpoint, but he himself had to see it. He had to see the Keshas in order to personally leave the Teva and be involved in Puravu. And that's why the Torah says again in Yud Zayin, Vayomer Elokim al Noach, Rashi says that Hashem pointed out the Keshas to Noach. It appears that Noach himself, he needed to see it in person in order to be able to psychologically move forward. And that is the concept of as to why it's repeated and it's duplicated in the Psukim. Okay? Anybody have questions on the Shir tonight? Or anybody want to add anything to the Shir? Sure, go ahead.
So it sounds like the rainbow is a reminder for man not to be arrogant, right?
Yeah, it's like a positive negative. It's like a reminder that we have the security that we can move forward, but we can't believe that we have a right to exist.
Bringing in the concept, it's making it seem like Hashem is looking at the rainbow and remembering the lesson. It's not like focusing so much on the lesson that man's deriving from it. It's more that
I think that's an idea. I think that's an idea that Midas Adin really is deserving in this point in time. That's the idea that it's coming from God. He says, "Kishitavo Midas Adin lekatriga aleichem ani roes os v'niskar." So it sounds like from Rashi that the concept is that Midas Adin, it's supposed to be enacted at this point. It's only because of a separate idea, because man can't exist and he can't persist and care about the future, because if he witnesses something like that along the lines of Midas Adin, it's too negative, it's too harsh for man. It's only because of that reason that Midas Adin isn't employed. And that's the idea. But whenever it says that God sees something, it's just expressing a concept. I don't think it means, obviously it doesn't mean literally that God is seeing it. And also you see from the end by Noach that the fact that Noach saw it himself, that there is an idea in the Keshas, you know, for the people as well. Hello? I didn't cut you off. Did I answer it or?
What?
Did I answer the question or no?
I couldn't really hear you so well.
Okay. I'm saying the idea is that Midas Adin, what does it mean that God's going to see the Os? It means that really Midas Adin is appropriate. And it's only because of the concept that man needs the security of God to move forward. It's only because of that, that he doesn't enact Midas Adin. So that is that concept. That's the concept of God seeing the Os. It doesn't mean he literally seeing it. It just means that that concept, that idea is present. And that's why Midas Adin isn't enacted. It's taken into account. All right. Anybody have any other questions or any other thoughts or want to add anything? Yeah.
I heard that people that have depression, they could get a rainbow from therapy.
Okay. Oh, well, that makes sense. I'm saying it's both. I'm saying it's good psychologically. It's supposed to give man security. So it should help. That's good. It helps a person. It makes the person feel more secure. But there's a danger to feeling security, because then you lose out on the idea, the reality of the situation, of what you are in the face and the eyes of God. So you have to, that's the balance. It's psychology and philosophy together. So psychologically you need it, and it helps you, the rainbow, it makes you feel better. But also philosophically, you can't ignore the truth of, you know, of Midas Adin, of what we really deserve. Okay, so that was the Shir tonight. Hope everybody has a good Shabbos, and next week we'll take up, I think, another Parsha Shir on next week's Parsha. So everybody have a good Shabbos. Thank you.